afternoon, whatever. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, good to you. Amen? All right. Praise God. We appreciate everybody being here today. And I'm excited about today. And the reason I'm excited is because last week we had just a really awesome time. We had a huge crowd. And I praise God that last week was a picture of where we're going. Amen? Amen. See, what God does is God always gives us the ability to see something, and then he allows you to go through the process of receiving what he shows you. Amen? So he has to show you something first. So we had to see it. So we had to see, wow, look at the room full. Okay, today's not, the room's not full. Do you get discouraged? Or you say, praise God for showing me the picture. Amen? That's what we do. We see a picture from God, and then God begins to give us understanding about how we move through everything, which is powerful because what we're talking about is vision. We're talking about vision, and vision has to really powerfully to do with how we interpret what God shows us on the inside. Amen? All right, so we're going to pray. Y'all got to talk to me today. Don't get quiet on me now. I love y'all. All right. So we're going to get into this, and we're going to pray and get going. So God is good. I'm going to make sure that they're, you guys all ready back here? Just checking to make sure you guys are ready. All right, praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor today. We thank you that your word is what counts the most. We thank you that your word is able to do all things in us, that your word gives us a guidance. It gives us wisdom and understanding. Your word fills us and equips us and strengthens us on the inside. We thank you for that right now. And Lord, we take the opportunity to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, counting and relying only on you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give wisdom to everyone in the room today, that as we receive the word of God, that the word would stir in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God. Lord, give us a new picture of what you desire for our lives. Let us see clearly as you see, Father. Let no thing that has proved itself as a hindrance ever overcome us, but let us always lean on your word for truth and wisdom and understanding. We thank you, Lord, for breaking down the barriers of limitation right now, and we take the limits off right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you your word releases to us understanding, Lord, beyond what we've been so far. And we give you praise and glory. We ask that you would allow us to speak according to your design. What you would have us to say, let us say boldly in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get into the word. So we're going to start with a little review from last week. Last week we started talking about vision. And we started with Proverbs 29 and 18. And Proverbs 29 and 18 gives us an understanding about the word that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen? Where there is no vision, people perish. Okay? So when we think about this word of God, we think about what God is saying. Where there is no vision, people will perish. King James Version says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he that keeps the law. So when we first started looking at this last week, the first thing we were looking at was that when God speaks vision to us, or when God does not speak vision, or when we can't accept the vision that God gives us, that there's a problem. Okay, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. So we talked about people who the world looks at and says that they're rebellious. Those people aren't rebellious. Those people can't see. Those people can't see what God is saying. They can't see the things of God. And so because they can't see, they cast off the restraints. They cast off what appears to be good judgment. They cast off things that don't look to them like it is worthwhile. So where there's no revelation, where there's no revelation, we talked about the word revelation means to have something revealed to you that is there, but you haven't seen so far. So have something revealed to you means that it's becoming a new sight to you, something that's been there, but you can't see it because something is blinding you. Something is standing in between you and that. So revelation is that. So let's go to the next passage. And the next passage is the same passage, but in the Amplified Version, where there is no vision or no redemptive where there's no redemptive revelation from God, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed or happy or fortunate and enviable is he. Amen? All right, so when we think about that, we're saying that where there is no vision, once again, or redemptive revelation. In other words, God has a revelation of redemption for all of humanity. Okay, we're all born into sin. We all know every human being will acknowledge the fact that we're not perfect. Amen. Nobody wants to be called a sinner. If you call somebody a sinner, you better be ready to fight, right? You call somebody a sinner, nobody wants to hear that. But if we all say, hey, I'm not perfect, everybody can accept that. Amen. But it's the same thing. That's what being a sinner is the fact that as a human being, we are not perfect, that we are not perfect people. We have flaws. We have things that aren't perfect about us, things that aren't quite right about us, things that nobody else looks at and says, hey, that's okay. No, that's okay for me because it's me. I accept my flaws. I accept what's not right about me. And so sometimes what we do is we take it a step further and we say, well, you know what? Everything is okay. But it's not okay. It's just we have to face the fact that there's flaws about humanity. So where there's no redemptive revelation, where people don't understand that God's desire is to redeem us, and the revelation that God wants to take those flaws and he wants to make perfection out of those flaws. He wants to give us something that will be a healing for those flaws, those shortcomings that we have. And that's what Christ is. Christ is he that is that redemptive revelation of God, that God is perfect. However, our imperfection is covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So I can stand before you and say, I'm a perfect human being. And you would say you're a lie because I know what you did yesterday wasn't right. But that's not true because God says, I wash that. I blot that out. So that redemptive revelation of God is my understanding that I am made perfect in Christ. In me, I'm not perfect. In him, I am perfect. Amen. So redemptive revelation gets down to what is it about me that has been made perfect? And that is God has made me perfect by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So when we think about this, that's what we get down. And then Proverbs 29:18 from the New Living Translation, it says, when people do not accept the divine guidance, they run wild. So when you see, again, we see humanity running wild, doing whatever humanity thinks about, is because once again, they don't have the divine guidance. They haven't received that divine guidance, or they haven't been able to value that divine guidance. Amen. So that's what we're dealing with. So that's our foundation, what we talked about last week. So last week's message had a couple of things that we dealt with. First thing we talked about was the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. So the prophet Elijah was an older prophet who was picking up young disciples and teaching them the prophetic way. So he had what was called the school of the prophets. And there were 51 prophets in the schools of the prophets. So he had these 51 people. And then he had Elisha. And the word says that Elisha and the sons of the prophets represent the church. So when we look at them, they all were those that were following Christ. Elijah was representing Jesus. And so when we looked at the passage last week, we saw how Elijah and Elisha were walking, and Elijah was told he was going to leave. He's going to be caught up out of the earth. And everybody knew that he was going to get caught up. So one day, as him and Elisha are walking, they go down to the riverside, and Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want? Name anything you want, and I'll do it for you. He said, I want to have the anointing you have. I want to have a double portion of what you have. And he said, I can't give that to you. And when we looked at the passage, because Jesus was represented by Elijah and Elisha is represented as the church, we ask God for something. He says, wait a minute, a human being can't give it to you. Only God can give you the anointing. Only God can give you the authority. Only God can give you power. And so you can't get it from just sitting under someone else. You can't get it from being in close proximity to other people. You can only get anointing from God himself. Amen. So the mantle was the robe that went over Elijah's shoulders. And he said, listen, when I go, if you see me, then God will grant you your wish. And so when he gets caught up and taken into heaven, his mantle falls to the ground, and people talking about somebody having someone else's mantle, that you pick up someone else's mantle. So Elisha picks it up and rolls it up. He walks to the river and says, where is the God of Elijah? And hits the water, and the water separates. Amen. So he said, wow. And the prophets looked on and said, the power that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. But we know that the power that was on Jesus is now on us. And that was the whole point of the story. When we look at the New Testament, that the power of Jesus, the power that he was granted as a man, not as the Savior, but as the man, the power that was granted to him has now been given to us. So Jesus said this. He said, the works that I do, you will do even greater works because I'm going to the Father. Amen. So we have that power. Now, the point is, now we get back to what we were reading, where there's no redemptive revelation, people perish.
So when we don't really understand the authority and the power that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit giving to us, we never walk in that place of Elijah. We never walk in that place of anointing. We never walk in those greater works that Jesus said that we will walk in. It always comes down to what have we been revealed, what God reveals to us, and how do we grasp the revelation? Now, we talked about last week about how the fact that there were more than just the prophet Elisha that were watching Elijah. And so there were these 50 other prophets who stood by and they just watched. They didn't tap in. They didn't come in and become a part of the conversation. They didn't say, look, we're going to follow you too. Elisha's not going to be the only one to get something from you. We're going to come in here too. They were never told not to go back. As a matter of fact, Elijah told Elisha, go away from me. He said, I'm not going away. I'm staying right here. Why? Because he desired to receive something. And we start thinking about the vision of the church. The vision of the church rests on our desire. They sang the song this morning, I'm not a man, I cannot lie. God says, I'm going to fulfill my promises. But I have to have somebody who's drawing from me. I have to have somebody who's going to stick close to me, even when it looks like they should go away, who should stay near to God and get near to God's heart and recognize that if we stay in that place, that he's going to pour out more to us. He's going to pour out deeper understanding. He's going to pour out deeper strength to us. He's going to pour out authority and anointing on us. But we have to be in that position to receive it. Amen. So let's get into what we're going to look at today. And I want to take this a little bit deeper. And that is, we're going to get into Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So let's go there real quick. So turn to your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When you get there, give me a big smile. All right. 1 and 26, are you there? All right, here we go. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay? So God gave this command to his man that he created. He said, I'm going to create man in my image. And so God set out and God actually did that. God created man in his image. And then he gave him authority and told him, I want you now to take authority over the earth. I want you to take authority over the things around you. I want you to take authority over the environment that I set you in. And so the message to us to understand is that that's what God's calling is. God's calling is us to take authority in the environments where he sets us. Amen? Amen. Take authority in the environments where he sets us. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for your life. God had a plan for our lives individually. And that plan includes not things out in the future, but God's plan always includes the footsteps where you stand right now. See, the world system has taught us that our destiny has to do with where we're going, where we're going down the road. But my destiny has to do with where I stand right now. Amen. And that's the point of understanding. That's the most critical point of understanding, because most of the time the church is so far looking into the future that we forget that God has a calling on us right here, right now. That where we stand, there is a calling on my life. There's an anointing for me to be in the moment that I'm in right now, in this place where we are right now. God has a calling for us here. There's something divine about this moment where we are. And so what happens is that we always thinking so far into the future that we miss the power of the now. Amen. And God's calling is to understand, let's create man in our image. When did he do it? Right now when I say it, I'm creating man in my image right now. Let him have dominion. Later on? No. Right now, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing. Right now where he is. So right now I have dominion. Right now, you have dominion. You have dominion in the circumstances that you're in, but it doesn't look like I have dominion. It doesn't make a difference. You have been given the power to have dominion over the circumstances that you're in. Amen? And that's the understanding, a point of understanding. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. And we want to start seeing this. God has a plan for our lives. And when it comes to vision, again, when people think about vision, we think corporately. We think corporate vision. That what are we doing 3 to 5 years from now? That we're pushing out a corporate vision. But that is correct. God does have a vision. But God told Abraham this. He said, look, I want you to look up in the air. Look at the stars. Look at this. I'm going to give you all these things. And Abraham said, wow, that's great, but I don't have any kids right now. He said, but you right now are the father of many nations. But I don't have it. No, right now you are the father of many nations right now. But I don't have any kids. Doesn't make a difference what you have. You need to understand that right now you are the father of many nations. So that which God creates for the future is not what I'm going to become. It's what I am getting manifested. It's what I am being revealed to the rest of the world. So God says, you are a mighty person. You have a church of thousands of people. But wait a minute, there's only 50 people in the room. Doesn't make a difference. I'm a pastor of thousands of people. But how can you say that? You're lying. I'm not lying. I can just see what other people can't see. I have vision that other people don't have. Why? And God has the same thing in every one of our lives. We are already dominion. Dominating our circumstances. We're dominating our situations. But we have to be able to see and to articulate what God has already showed us. Amen? And we have to be assured that God has a plan for our lives. Because most of the time what happens is the enemy comes and tries to cheat us and says, well, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what. I don't have to know where I'm going. As a matter of fact, God told Abraham, he said, I want you to get out of your father's house and go to a place I'm going to show you. And you won't know the way. You won't know the way. You can't know the way because it's divine. The way is not natural. The way is spiritual. And you have to understand that in order to get to a spiritual way, you have to turn down, not off, turn down your mental capacity. You have to turn down your ability to hear physically, and you got to hear spiritually. You got to tune your ears to spiritually hear and understand the voice of God as the God is speaking. Amen. Now, what happens to the church is sometimes we say, well, then we're only going to walk by faith and we're not going to think. Wrong.
Amen.
You need to have faith while you're thinking. Amen. You need to think and have faith. Amen. You can't just turn one off and the other. That's not how God created us. He created us in his image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're created physical, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? You created in the image of God. You are a triune person. You have a spirit. You have a mind, a mental faculty, emotions, and you can't turn all that off.
Amen.
You have to have those working. The whole you has to be released. Amen?
Yeah.
It has to be matched with your physical body being in the condition to do what you need to do for God. Amen? It's the whole man that God has created, a whole man God wants to use. Amen? All right, let's look at Jeremiah 29. Are you there? All right, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's first thing is, I have a thought, I have a plan for you. And I didn't know, I knew they were going to sing a song, but I wasn't really thinking about the fact that song aligns, that's where it comes from. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. You don't know the plans I have for you, but I know the plans that I have for you, amen? God knows a plan. There is a existing plan in place for your life. And even when you feel like, man, I'm just kind of drifting, you're not drifting. You are in God's plan. He knows the plan is for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, the world is full of no hope. The world is full of hopelessness. The world is full of people who have already given up, at age 30, 35, they've given up already. Amen? We all know people. How many, raise your hand if you know somebody is between 30 and 40 already given up in life. Why? Because the world is hopeless. The world system is hopeless. And even the church, that will bleed into us and we will start writing off ourselves before we even recognize what God is calling us to do or even fulfill the circumstances and things that God has for us. But he says this, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Verse 12, and we'll go there in a second. Let me get my Bible. Technology will let you down sometimes. Here we go. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God says, I'm promising you, if you come and pray, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear what you say. Amen. So we have that. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about prayer, and we're talking about that we have that open door, that God is a father and that God is willing to hear us. And sometimes we got to retrain our mind to understand what a father is, because all of us didn't have good fathers. So we have to get the biblical order of what a father is and recognize that a father then will listen to what I say. A father will hear me. And when he hears me, that he will listen. When he listens to me, then verse 13 says that when he listens, then you will seek me and find me, for when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. So God's saying, I want to reveal this plan to you, but I need you to seek me. I need you to seek for me with all your heart. Now, the world says that where you find your plan is in your own heart. But this says you seek God with all your heart and he will give the plan to you. Amen. So it's a distinction, because when I thought about my life and what I wanted to do, I did not come up with the plan that God has rolled out for my life. Amen. It wasn't the same plan. I had a plan. I was going to become an architect. I was going to design all these buildings. I was going to do my thing, and it's going to be great. I'm going to do whatever. I haven't designed a building yet. But God's been blessing my life because I made it into the position where God had called me to be. And so that's the whole point. We have to understand that there's our plan, there's the devil's plan for you, and then there's God's plan for you. Amen? So the devil's plan is to destroy you, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So that's what we understand, that God's plan is to release abundance to us, and you can't get God's plan out of your own heart. You got to get God's plan from the Spirit to come down and share with you and lead you and direct you in the way that he's called you to go. Amen? Amen. So when he says, when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. When we start seeking God with all of our heart, and we've been talking again about prayer and about worship, and the only way to get vision from God is to become a worshiper. The only way to get clear vision from God is to become a worshiper. Because a worshiper gets in that place where they appreciate the presence of God. A worshiper becomes that person who is willing to sit and just be in God's presence and wait for it to get quiet. And a worshiper then, when they get quiet, starts to hear voices other people can't hear because it's too loud around them. Today I was preparing for this message and it was loud. Everything was loud. I was worried about different stuff, trying to get everything in my mind where we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. That. I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I wrote out this message, and I had it all set, and I had it all ready to go. And then I woke up this morning, and the Holy Spirit just said, wait a minute, slow down. And when I was quiet, he came back and said, nope, say that one for later. Go back and talk about this. But in the time of quiet and worship, then God's voice becomes clear. God's voice becomes clear and quiet. But our systems around us are cultivating us to noise. They're cultivating us to have noise around us, and we can't stand for it to be quiet. And we get upset or we get irritated when it gets too quiet. We get nervous. We have a hard time just being quiet and just letting things be quiet around us. And so we got our stuff in our ears, and then we get home, we turn our music up loud, and then we got our TV on, and then we get ready to go to bed. Oh, I got to put something on before I go to bed. Got to put that last little tune on, because we get nervous when it gets too quiet, because the world has trained us to noise. But the Bible says that Elijah was up on a hillside, and he was praying to God, and it said a still small voice spoke to him. And he said that there was a big fire that broke out, and the fire was loud, but God's voice wasn't in the fire. And then there was a huge wind that came, and it was noisy, and God's voice wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but God's voice wasn't in the earthquake. And it says, then a still small voice came to him and spoke to him. So he says, when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. I'm going to listen to you. You're going to find me. And when you find me, it's going to be that quiet voice that gives you direction. That quiet voice that gives you direction. That's why the worshiper is the one who hears from God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this. God's plan is for good and not for evil. God's plan does not involve toil. And so I was toiling this morning, or last night, or yesterday, whenever I was preparing. I'm blank now. I was toiling. I was wrestling. I was trying to figure things out. And as I was wrestling, the more I wrestled, the more I could not hear. Because I'm toiling and I'm wrestling. And then I talked to Tammy about something. And then next thing I knew, we was at each other. I'm like, oh, man. Why? Because I was toiling. I was in physical labor, trying to get something accomplished, trying to get something done. But that toil was taking me more into the flesh and less to the spirit. Yes. The more we toil, the less we're in a position to be in the spirit and hear from God. Now, doesn't mean that we don't ever give physical effort, because again, you're one being. You got to put physical effort into things. But there's a difference between being diligent with physical effort and toiling. Okay, let's look at Psalms 127 and 1. Psalms 127. I'm pushing too hard. There we go. Who's doing it? Me or you guys? You guys do it. I'm toiling again. All right, praise God. Oh man, God is good. He'll teach some lessons if you're listening. Oh, praise the Lord. Good Lord. Man. All right, anyway, praise God. Toil. Verse 1 of Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Next verse. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. God says rest. God says if you really want to get in the spirit, you really want to get things done, don't toil. Don't overdo it. Rest. Because unless the Lord builds the house, you're going to labor in vain. You're going to do a, amen, amen. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's vain labor. To be vain means empty. It's empty work. If you overwork to be rich, the word says, don't overwork to be rich, for your own understanding cease, because money will sprout itself wings and fly away like an eagle toward heaven. As soon as you get close to it, it will fly away because you can't grab it. Because you can't overwork to do things. You can't toil. You can't do that. That's not God's design. So when we look in Genesis, God said, man, I want you to be in dominion. You have dominion over this, over that. You do these things. You be in dominion. But he did not tell him to work hard until after the curse. In Genesis chapter 4, after man has fallen, and God has to say, excuse me, Genesis chapter 3, he says, now the ground is cursed for your sake. You will have to labor and toil. You're going to have to work the ground. Working the ground and toiling is part of the curse. So if we're going to have the redemptive revelation from God and understand our personal vision, that God's plan for you does not involve toil. It doesn't involve getting up early, going to bed late, and going over and over and trying to do everything under the sun. That's not what God's plan for us includes. Amen? Because God's going to build these houses. God is the one who's going to give us abundance. God is the one who's going to do certain things for us. And we can't labor over labor in order to make it happen. We can't make it happen on our plan. It has to be under God's plan. Amen? Amen. So let's look at the next thing here. The plan is found not by looking at ourselves, but by looking for the kingdom. Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you can't seek your plan. You have to seek the kingdom. Amen. Seek the kingdom and all the things will be added to you. So when we start seeking the kingdom in our current environment, God starts to reveal things. So when we seek God, hey, all I have is these things here. God came and got Moses to be a leader of the people. But Moses has given up his royalty and was living out in the wilderness. And out in the wilderness, with nothing but sheep and a shepherd's staff, God comes and says, listen, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to set my people free. The cry of my people has been heard, and I'm going to send you to be a deliverer for them. And he says, number one, I can't talk. I stutter. I can't speak clear. I don't have anything. And he says, what is that in your hand? He said, it's a staff. Lay it down. And God began to transform that thing that was insignificant to Moses, that looked like it was nothing, the thing that seemed like it was just, this is just my stick for walking around. But it wasn't just that. It was something that God was able to empower. And so when we're saying take the limits off of God, God is telling us, you know what? You got things in your hand. That's all I need. God doesn't deliver by many. God can deliver by few. God only needs the willingness. If we seek the first, the kingdom of God, put ourselves and receive in the position of receiving from God, then God can activate what things around us that other people look at and seem like they have no value. God will look at our circumstances and see things that other people don't see, experiences that you have or things that you have in your possession. And God will make those things of value, and he will use those things to cause you to flourish and to be blessed. Amen. So we have to understand, as God is preparing us to move into new places, we have to be prepared to not set our minds on that which is not, but to know what God has laid in front of us and be ready to say, God, I give you what I have. I give you what I have. I'm giving you what I have. I don't have $1 million. I don't have this. I don't have that. But I give you what I have, and I give it to you wholly with all my heart. I lay it all before you. And God is able to make circumstances transform out of nothing, out of what looks like nothing. The Bible says that God created the world, the heavens and the earth, with things that cannot be seen. And so vision is that ability to recognize that God can take what we have right now and make great. He can make great out of what seems like nothing. He can make our paths cross with people who know things that we need to know. He can make us walk us into environments where we're not even supposed to be. He can make our phone ring and people we didn't even know who knew our name call us up and say, hey, I need you right here to do this. God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think about, according to the Spirit of God that works on the inside of us. But he works when we start to seek the kingdom and not seek the things. When we start seeking the kingdom with all of our heart, we get in that position of just being in that position with God. God will cause miracles to work in our behalf. And that's when we have to be people who are confident in that. Confident in the fact that when I walk around, I have all things available to me. I have everything available to me. I have all things available. I have no lack whatsoever. I have nothing that God can't get to me right when he needs to get it to me. Amen. But I have to be confident of that. And I get confident by spending that time in his presence. I get confident by just spending that time in worship. I get confident in just being in God's presence and letting God do great and mighty things outside of us. Amen. I was going to take a temporary job just to do something for a minute. And God said, nope, I'm going to put you in. I'm going to plant you here. And God planted me into that environment. I'm working in that environment, just doing what's in front of me. And all of a sudden, the director of the organization reaches levels down and says, I want you up here right now. And he just moves me. Why did he do that? How do you even know who I am? I'm not in his group of people that he sees all the time. How does he know where I am? How does he know what my skills are? What makes him dial my number? It's the God that we serve. It's the God that we serve that doesn't have limitations, who doesn't have boundaries. The boundaries that we have are boundaries that have been created for us by the world system. The boundaries that we have are boundaries that have been put in there in order for the enemy to keep you where he wants you, because he has a vision for your life. He has a vision for your life of brokenness. He has a not godly brokenness, but brokenness as in broken lives, broken relationships, broken things. He wants to do that to us. He wants to rob us. He wants to steal from us. But we have to know that when I seek the kingdom of God, I don't have to just live like that. Amen. God has given me the authority and the power to live and to walk his plan out. Amen. Amen. Let's close with this. Go back to Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while Jeremiah was shut up in the court of the prison." So Jeremiah is under a great limitation. He's in prison. He's not free. But the word of the Lord comes to him. Amen? And again, the power of God is not limited by our circumstances. The voice of God is not limited by our circumstances. The word of the Lord can come to you when you're in prison. The word of the Lord can come to you when you're in grief. The word of the Lord can come to you when you are under pressure. The word of the Lord can come to you at any time. God has no barrier, no limitation. The word of the Lord can come to you when you are feeling physically weak or when you're sick. The word of the Lord can come to you at any moment. There's no boundary for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord can come to you when you're 19 years old. The word of the Lord can come to you when you're 75 years old. The word of the Lord can come to you at any time. And when the word comes, God has a message for you. And you have to have your ear inclined to hear it and take away the boundaries. But Lord, I'm in prison. Why are you sending me a word right now? How come you didn't send me a word when I was free? How come you didn't send me a word when I was this? How come you didn't? Well, no, I got a word for you right now. Right now, I got a word. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still shut up in prison. Amen? Next verse. "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Thus says the Lord." He says, now, remember, I'm talking to you in prison and I need you to remember who you're talking to. I need you to remember, this is not just some guy walking up and saying something to you. This is the Lord. Remember, the Lord, the word of the Lord, the Lord who made it. I am the Lord who made things, and I'm the one who's talking to you. This is not somebody who got to go get authority from somebody else. I, the Lord who made it, I'm talking to you. Amen? Verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Call to me and I will answer you. I will show you things you don't know." So I stopped ever saying I'm confused. I never, ever say I'm confused. Why? Because I'm not. Because I call on him and he will answer. He will show me what I don't know. And so sometimes, again, I think I can do anything. I didn't always think I can do anything, but I have some illusion right now that I can do anything. Why? Because I believe that if I don't know, I will call on God and he will answer. He will show me what I don't know. He will fill in the gaps where I don't have an understanding. I got a confidence in God that God is able to do things that I don't understand. God's able to show me stuff I don't know. Now, that means it's a substitute for ever asking anybody anything? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that if I'm the only one around, I'm going to figure it out. God's going to show me how to do this. Amen? I'm respect everybody else's gifts and talents, but if I'm the only one there, I'm going to do it. I can do it. So I know aviation. I didn't know aviation, but I know it now. Why? God sent me to an airport. I'm going to absorb it. I'm going to know aviation. So I know about radars. I know vectors on plane landing. I know all of it now. I can do anything. Why? Because I do believe, really believe, that God can show me anything. God can reveal anything to me. And things that people would say that I'm not supposed to understand, I can understand it. I can understand anything. So God tells me to go somewhere, I'm not afraid to go there. Because I believe God will tell me what I need to know. But that's a place of being with God, to understand. If God calls you to a new place, no, you won't know the place. No, you won't understand. No, you won't have that information. But when you need to know, God will speak to you. If you can get quiet and listen to God, he will speak to you in the moment when you need to know information, when you need understanding. God will give you understanding. And we are going to grow this ministry with that understanding. That we don't know everything. We don't know how to do this, how to do that. But we're going to come to an understanding that we're going to know what we need to know when we know it. We need to know it. Amen. We're going to know what to do. We're going to know how to answer problems in this community. We're going to know how to do different things. We're going to know how to help people in situations that other people have not been able to help them in. Amen. I went to work for this employment agency here in the city of Vallejo. And there was when I went to work there, they took all the bad files and they gave them to me. All the people who they've been trying to work with, they couldn't place in positions. That's all the files they gave me. They brought them all to me. And I started going through the files, and I said, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. You got to help me, Holy Spirit. And I started praying over them. And the Lord told me exactly what to do. Most of the people wouldn't even call them back. You would call them, they wouldn't even call back because they was done. Oh, y'all ain't got nothing for me. I'm not going down here. Holy Spirit started activating me. And probably about 75% of those people who couldn't be placed, I placed them. Wow. But I didn't place them because I'm smart. I placed them because the Holy Ghost showed me where to put them. Amen. I was able to place them because the Holy Spirit told me first, you got to build a relationship with all of them. Amen. So I start calling them. I say, hey, I don't have nothing for you. I'm just calling to see how you're doing. Holy Spirit told me what to do. Make friends with them. I say, hey, what's up? What's going on today? What you doing? I'm just sitting here watching TV. You can't find a job watching TV. What you doing? Come on down here. Boop. Off the phone. Hey, what you doing today? I just started calling them. I just started speaking life over them. Hey, God, I believe there's something out there for you. But do you know it's 85%, it's 13% unemployment. I said, that means 87% of people working. Is it easier to get from 87 to the 13 or from 13 to the 87? Come on, let's go. Let's do this. I never thought about it like that. Good, come on, good. That's why I'm here. I didn't think about it either till I said it. Praise the Lord. But God will give us understanding. God will give us new revelation. Where there is no vision, people are perishing. But we have the words of life. Jesus made a hard saying to his disciples. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And it says that a bunch of people said, hey, you're talking crazy. We can't even be with you. And they went away from Jesus. And it said he turned around and looked at the rest of his disciples. And he said, where are you guys? Are you guys going to leave me as well? And Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. And people around us are around us because we have the words of life. They're people who are drawn into our circumstances because we have the words of life. We have the words to speak life to them, to encourage them, and to build them up, and to give them hope, and to give them strength, and to help them endure from today to tomorrow, to teach them how to have dominion right now, not worried about, but I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't know what you're going to do then, but do you know what you can do right now? I don't know. Just live. Sometimes that's all the word people need is live right now. Just live in the moment right now. Just live. Let's smile. Let's enjoy our life right now. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Amen. Some people need that kind of hope. Some people need that kind of declaration, but they will only get it from those who have vision to see past their circumstances. Sometimes we get called to pray for people who are sick, and we get caught up on whether God's going to heal them or not. And that's not the point.
Amen.
The point is redemption.
Amen.
Where there's no redemptive revelation. Can we minister redemption to people? Can we minister the heart of God to people? Can we talk to people about the goodness of God?
Amen.
About the moment right now where God sent me to you to encourage you. And let's just be joyful right now in the moment. Amen. Let's get the spirit of death backed off, because we're inviting the spirit of life just by being in the presence. And see, we're so worried about whether God's going to heal him or not. That doesn't count right now.
Amen.
God's not a man. He don't lie. He said he's a healer. He's a healer. I don't need to do that. Amen. He's the healer.
Amen.
All I need to do is just be life in the environment. I just walk into the situation and be alive right now. Be alive right now in the moment. Be alive right now. Walk in. Bless people.
Amen.
That is the beginning of the revelation of God's plan for your life. If we understand that we are lights in a dark world, if we understand that God has just sent us just to be light, If you understand that first, then everything else can flow out of you. But if you just understand that, if you just go into an environment and just light it up with the joy of the Lord, which you possess, the darkness already has to back off. I'm the person at work they call when the angriest people have a problem. Why do they always send me to the angriest people? Because they know I'm the light. Amen. They know that I'm not moved by people's anger. Amen. I will sit with an angry person and I'll have them laughing in a few minutes. Because why? You ain't mad at me. I can sit down with you and I can shine right next to you and just sit there with you. And you know what? And we're going to have a good time. We're going to laugh. And you know what? And then I'm going to leave you with something. And when I walk away, you're going to want me to be back with you again.
Amen.
Why? Because you get that light shined on you and you're tired of being in darkness.
Amen.
And I don't have to tell them about Jesus. I just walk up and let Jesus show up.
Yes.
Let him show up. Let him show up. Man, to understand that and to understand this is part of God's vision for us.
Yes.
It's not just God, where am I going? God, where am I now?
Amen.
When Adam fell, God didn't ask, Adam, where are you going? He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you right now? Where are you right this moment? See, that's the whole thing. Where are we right now? Right now. God's plan. Call on me. I will answer you. I'm going to show you great and mighty things. This is the will of God. The plan of God in our life has to do with him revealing things in the moment to us and us trusting in the moment. Trusting that God is with us right now in the situation we're in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close and pray. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for your word. I pray that this word would touch right where it needs to touch right now. We thank you right now for encouraging and building up everyone in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, for taking the word and activating it in our spirits. Let us call on you this week and knowing that you're going to answer us when we search for you with all of our heart. Right now, I declare that everyone in this room be free to release themselves fully over to you. Any hindrance, anything that's holding us back from releasing ourselves fully over to you, Lord God, we hand it to you right now. We, by act of our will, release ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for revealing the plan of God to everyone in here, the plan for their lives. Thank you right now for releasing the grace and mercy of God and the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding. We pray for everyone in this room who has suffered loss this week. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to bring comfort right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for bringing comfort right now. We thank you for the peace that you've already brought. And we thank you for our even deeper peace in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for surrounding them, encompassing them about with your grace and your love right now. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the love of God just to cover them like a mantle. Hallelujah. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. If there's anybody here today that you've been praying about the path that God has for your life, you've been praying about what direction to go, you've been praying about decisions, and you feel like you don't have an answer for those, we're going to pray for you right now because I believe very, very solidly that God has already authored our steps.
Amen.
The word says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord.